Today the gospel reading is about the parable of the sower and the seed. But before we get into it, why is this parable in particular so important? And in fact, why is any Bible reading that we do at all, why is it important? Whether that's at church, if I hear it from here, or if it's at home in my room by myself, or even if it's a message or something I see on the computer on Facebook, why is it important every single time that I come across the Word of God, whether I read it or whether I hear it? And there are many reasons why it's so important every time I'm exposed to it. And one of the main reasons for that is because I will be held accountable for what I've heard, and I'll be held accountable for what I've read. And there will be a personal consequence for me as to how I reacted after I heard the Word of God or after I read the Word of God. Sometimes we might forget that there's actually a very personal consequence to it. But our Lord, He said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, He said this. He said, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." So He's saying, because I've spoken to them, they are inexcusable. Because we know, we have no excuse. And so we make no mistake about it. It matters a lot as to what my reaction is every time I hear the Word of God. And there's a real danger if I think there's not a real consequence for it. You know, if I don't think that there's a real consequence for it, the likelihood is that I probably won't listen to it as much. I probably won't care as much when I listen to it. And I probably won't act on it as I should either if I think there's no personal consequence to me. It's like the example of going on a plane. If anyone here has been on a plane before, what happens is, you go, you give your ticket, and then you walk onto the plane, you get in your seatbelt, you buckle up, and then there's a very important announcement that they make. Every single time before the plane takes off, the flight attendant or the cabin crew, they say a very important announcement. And what this announcement is what do you do in case of an emergency? If the plane is going to crash, what are you supposed to do? And even though what they're saying is very important, i.e., like life, death important, if you look around at the plane at that time, you will notice about three quarters of the people not listening at all, disregarding completely. And the reason for that is very simple. The reason is because the statistics of planes actually crashing is very, very low. And so they think that it's not really going to be for me. It's not personal. What they're saying is theory, but it's not really applicable to me because I know I'm going to land and I'll be fine. But if you flip it around and you got onto the plane and after you've buckled up in your seatbelt and you're now in midair, the captain, he goes on the loudspeaker and then he says, "In 5 minutes, unfortunately, sorry guys, you've actually entered a plane that's running out of fuel. In 5 minutes, we actually have to crash land in the ocean. Please listen attentively to what the cabin crew is going to tell you. It just may save your life." What will be the reaction of the people then? Will they listen to the cabin crew? They'll probably be hitting people next to them, telling them to be quiet because they want to hear so much what they're going to say because it may save their life. And the Bible, the message of the Bible is actually very much the same. Although we may think things are not serious now, the time will come that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And each one will receive according to his deeds what we've done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so with that introduction, what is the Lord saying to us today in the parable of the sower and the seed? One of the things that He's telling us in today's gospel is that the Word of God is powerful and is capable of changing my life. And we know this because of the last verse in the gospel, which says this. It says, "But the ones He's referring to the seed, which is the Word of God, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the Word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So it's saying, if the word is accepted on a good heart, it will bear fruit, it will lead to change. And the many stories that testify to the life-changing power of God in many people's lives, and we know it ourselves in our own lives, the power of God, and that it's able to change. Does anyone know, there is an organization called the Gideons. Has anyone heard of them before? They're basically a Bible distributing organization. And what they do, they distribute Bibles worldwide. And it's something that's very exciting because Whenever you go to a hotel, whether that's interstate or overseas, one of the really nice things you can do is you can just go to the room, open the front drawer or the top drawer, and you see if there's a Bible in there. If there's a Bible in there, you know that's the Gideons. They were basically a group of businessmen who came together and they decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to just distribute Bibles. That's our mission. And what they often go on is something called a scripture blitz. And what that is, you may have actually had this at school when you were younger. They hand out these little New Testaments. They could be red, white, green, whatever it might be. And they hand it out at schools. So what happened one day, they were in Brazil in a place called Porto Alegre. And they were distributing these New Testaments in front or at the entrance of this big university in Brazil. And so what happened is they came across a young man who was dressed nicely. They gave him this New Testament. And his reaction was very unique. He actually started cursing at them in Portuguese and he started making hand gestures to them. Portuguese, that's the main language of Brazil. One of the fewer countries in South America that don't speak Spanish is Brazil. They speak Portuguese. So he started cursing at them in his native language and he made hand gestures. And then this is what he said. He said, "You know what you can do with all these books? You can just throw them away like I'm going to do now." And what he did is that he threw this little New Testament on the roof of a nearby building. So obviously this is not something very encouraging for the Gideon's work. He's obviously very upset about this. But later in the day, what happened was there was a very short man that he saw, and he was covered in tar. He didn't smell very nice. It was on his face, on his arms, on his legs. And then he was basically telling the Gideon's work, he goes, "I was actually working on a roof nearby." And he goes, "I was actually thinking about taking my life until God hit me in the head with this little book." And then he showed him the New Testament. And then he said, "In it, I read that I could have eternal life." And he started pleading with the man to ask him, "How can I have eternal life?" And so he learned more about Christ. And so this is just a very simple story to say that the Word of God can change us even in moments, just very, very quickly. So by the grace of God, what we'll just spend the rest of the time talking about is how can we bear fruit? How can we bear fruit? And the Lord, he gives us the answer very simply in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. The Lord says the secret to bearing fruit. And this is what the Lord says. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So he's saying basically that he's the vine and that if we're connected to him as a branch, that we bear fruit naturally, because the vine has all these nutrients and juice, and so if I'm connected, just naturally I will bear fruit. But if I'm disconnected from the vine who is Christ, it's impossible. So how do I know if I am abiding in Christ and that God abides in me? Does anyone want to have a guess? There's a test in the Bible which tells us if we are abiding in Christ or if we are not. Someone said love. That's right. The test is love. So in the first epistle of John, it says this. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." And so we're speaking here about the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love. And the rest of the ones in Galatians, we have love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, and self-control. But the first one it mentions is love. And the Bible makes no joke when it comes to love. It could almost make a joke of any other virtue that you hear about. Like literally, it will make a joke of it. And we'll actually read about it very, very soon. But when it comes to love, there is no room for any mucking around when it comes to love. And St. Paul, he has a very famous chapter on love. And he makes incredible statements, astounding statements. Sometimes it's unbelievable what he's actually saying about love and the importance of it. So we'll just examine what he said about love. He starts off, this is in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." So what St. Paul is saying, this is St. John Chrysostom's contemplation on this verse. He says this, he says, "If I have no love, I am not just useless, but a positive nuisance. That's what he's saying. It's like one of the deacons today standing up during the liturgy, and he gets the cymbals, and then he just starts clanging them together during the liturgy. So what St. John Chrysostom is saying, what St. Paul is saying, he's saying, if I don't have love, I'm not only useless, but I'm actually a nuisance. Like, I'm a troublemaker. I'm a headache to other people if I don't have love. Then he goes on, and St. Paul writes, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, what do I equate to if I don't have love after all these things? He says, but have not love, I am nothing. So if you break it down, it's very, very significant. He's saying, and though I have the gift of prophecy, imagine you right now had the gift of prophecy. You could tell all the year 12s what they're going to get from today in their mark. You had the gift of prophecy. And then it goes on, it says, not only that, you understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You need no one to teach you anything because you know everything anyway. You know it all. And not only that, but you have all faith so that you could remove mountains. Can you imagine if everyone in this church had enough faith that they could individually remove mountains by themselves? And what does the Bible say about them? The Bible says that if we have all these things, we're prophets, that we know everything, and that we could move mountains because we have so much faith, but have not love, we are nothing. We are no thing, the negation of anything. It's useless. And then he goes on, St. Paul, and he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Notice he's saying all goods. He's not saying some goods. None of us sitting here in this church, nor have I, have we given all of our goods for the poor. None of us have. But even if you have, St. Paul says this, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and then he goes on and he says, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So breaking that down is that if you've given everything, you stand before the Lord one day and you tell him, Lord, I sold my house and I sold my car and I sold the shirt on my back and I gave it to the poor. What profit do I have from you, Lord? And then he says, nothing. Are you serious? I sold everything. I couldn't even give anything more. What profit do I have from you? Nothing. Why? Did you love your brother? No, but I gave everything. Okay, the profit you receive from me is nothing. Nothing at all. Not only that, the next one it says, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Can you imagine you died for the sake of Christ, apparently. You died a martyr. And you stand before the Lord, Lord, they killed me because I was a Christian. What profit do I have from you, Lord? And he says, nothing. You have nothing from me. Did you love your brother? No, but I gave myself for you. You saw what they did to me. I died. From me, you get nothing. Why? It's because there was no love. Because I didn't love my brother. And so if we're talking about being useful or bearing fruit, it is impossible if we do not have love. No matter what virtue we may have, the Bible discounts the greatest sacrifices we could make as garbage if there is no love in it. And so no matter what we do, no matter what gifts we may have, if it is not rooted in Christ, in love, it's useless. And God would much rather a church that has ordinary people with no miracle workers, no prophets, but they love each other over a church that has a church full of people that have prophecies and a church full of people who could do miracles. You know, the world would be very impressed with it. God would say, this church to me, nothing. There was no love. There was no love. And so practically, just one point that we can take from the gospel, if we really want to bear fruit and to abide in love, is to not hold grudges against each other. I should never let the sun go down on my wrath, as the Bible says. If I'm upset with someone, I forgive them. No matter what you do in your life, if you hold a grudge against someone, the Lord says this. He says, if you do not forgive your brother, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Very, very simple. You could have served, you could have gone to Africa, served 20 years on the mission field. You could have done everything. You could have given your clothes away, everything. And then on the day of judgment, you say, Lord, I left my family for you and I preached your word in places that were very difficult. I went hungry, I went thirsty, and I had no possessions. And then he will say, I'm sorry, I can't let you in. We had a deal, right? It says it in my word. It's simple. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And so instead of concentrating on maybe appearing very good and having great virtues and everything like that, it's important that we get the basic right, which is to love. And one way we can do that is we always forgive no matter what. We love each other as a church, and we're so blessed that we have love in this church, starting from the very top with God's love for us. The incredible love between all the priests is something that's always mentioned and something that's so obvious, and I think it's what keeps the church together. And so may we as grandparents and parents and youth and children and babies, may we always be focused on the one thing that's needed, which is to love each other in Christ, and that way we will bear much fruit. Glory be to God.